So several years ago, Aaron and I went to a wedding, and the next morning, Aaron said, you know what, the flowers at that wedding, those were just the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen at a wedding. He's like, those probably cost $10,000. And I was like, what flowers? Like, there were times it was hard to talk to the people at the other side of the table, and I had to look around something, and I guess that was part of that huge arrangement. But I say that because when you came in this morning, some of you might have noticed our altar, and then some of you were probably very oblivious to it. So if you're like me, you kind of need to have this pointed out. We've got two plants on the altar, right? And one of them is not doing too well. And so this is going to be our kind of illustration this morning to kind of recognize that in many ways, our words are kind of like water to plants, right? If we have hurtful words, it might be like adding vinegar to a plant and just slowly making it wilt. Or if we have positive words, they can build others up and help them flourish, right? And so as we think about that today, we might think about it in the context of our family. Thinking about the words that we say, they might be hurtful or they might be life-giving. And so to help us get started with that, I want us to lean on one of the scriptures on this card again. We're going to read the one from Ephesians 4:29. And once again, our hope in reading these cards, the words will be on the screen, is that these words might really start resting on our heart and then change the words that we speak. So in Ephesians 4:29, let's read it together. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Right in this passage, don't let any evil talk come out of your mouth, but instead only what will build others up. And that's the same for our passage today in Colossians that we're going to be looking at. Today the author gives us two options. There's two paths, and oftentimes we see these two paths given in the scriptures. A path that leads to death and destruction, or a path that can lead to life. The author here writes the letter to the Colossians, so he's writing to a church. But I want to invite us today to think about these words in the context of our family. And I recognize that for all of us, the definition of family is different. So you're invited to have whatever definition of family is for you. That might be people living in your house. It might be extended family. It might be people who aren't even blood relatives necessarily, but you consider them family. So whatever your definition of family is, it's fine. But think about that as your family and your group. And you can either offer life-giving words or you can offer words that cause people to wilt. I also want to invite you to follow along in this sermon using your Bible app. And so that the scriptures are in the Bible app and there's notes in the Bible app. And I've got a hunch that some point this week, somebody in your family is just going to do something and you're just going to want to let it all out, right? And so you might refer back to some of the notes that you took today and go, what was that scripture that we read on Sunday? Right? And so maybe you might refer back to it throughout the week. But as we look at this passage from Colossians, it says this initially. It says, avoid hurtful words. And he lists anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, and lying. Well, we look at that list and we know that list is really just like adding drops of vinegar to a plant. Right? Every hateful word or hurtful word is just another drop of vinegar that wilts the people around us. So as we think about that list, it's important for us to figure out in our own families, what does that mean to avoid that? In our own household, there are certain words that we just absolutely won't say. We've said from the beginning, we're not going to use the word hate. And we don't let the kids use that when they talk about their food. We don't let them talk about it when they talk about their clothes. Because what we know, if we allow that word, then eventually that turns to, I hate you, right? And the word can cause harm. There's two exceptions to that word. One, when we talk about hating evil. The scriptures give us permission to hate what is evil and love what is good. So the kids know they can hate evil, and they also know we can hate mosquitoes, because, I mean, mosquitoes are just evil with wings, right? But besides that, we have to really work and be intentional to make sure that we don't even have this vinegar in our house. Because if it's in our house, then we just kind of put drop after drop after drop. And it causes those around us to wilt. And this happens more than we'd like to admit, right? When we're with our families, there's a chance that we let our guards down. My guess is when we leave the house, we're fairly composed. And you go to church, or you go to work, or you go to school, and you kind of have stuff put together, right? And so you don't really word vomit on other people. But gosh, we might do that with the people in our household, right? Sometimes with those we love the most, these words can just slip out. We can be frustrated with people that we're supposed to help flourish, but instead these words just kind of come out. And so I recognize that's one of the struggles that we all have, that sometimes we let these words come out that don't need to come out. And there's a little bit of vinegar and a little bit of wilting that goes on. But I also want to recognize, as we talk about the power of words, that words can build up and give life. But if words are hurtful over and over and over again, they become really toxic. They become abusive. And sometimes words go from just being hurtful to really causing damage and to making a spouse wilt, or make children wilt. And so I want you to know about a resource, Denton County Friends of the Family. Their phone numbers are published in your bulletin. They're published in your Bible app. And so if you, or maybe one of your friends or family members, is in a household where it feels like there's just this constant dripping of negative words that are causing people to wilt, Denton County Friends of the Family is a wonderful organization that will walk alongside you to move your family from that situation to one of flourishing. So sometimes we need that resource, either for ourselves or maybe for somebody else in our circle, and you might share those numbers with them. Sometimes words hurt, and they cause damage. But, you know, as you think about this plant that's wilted over here, I'll be honest with you, we added some vinegar to kind of make it look like that. But there's another way to get it to look like this. We could just wait a couple weeks and not water it at all. Right? We could just leave it neglected and eventually it's going to start wilting. And so the same is true of our words. Sometimes we don't necessarily say anything negative to our family. But if we withhold the positive words, then those around us start to wilt. So we need to make sure that we're intentional to create some space to water, if you will, to make sure that we're offering life-giving words to those around us. If it's your spouse, it's being intentional to say, we're going to set aside this time and to just be with each other. So Aaron and I have that rhythm of a weekly date night. We don't go anywhere special. We just wait till the kids go to bed, and then we eat, and we don't have to worry about cups spilling or kids asking for candy, and we can have a normal conversation. But that leads to watering, right? If we've got kids, the chances are that you get really busy, and you move from here and there, and sometimes we're not intentional to just create some time to water those relationships. There's times where our family is not living with us, but we need to be intentional to have those phone calls, get those meals together, whatever it looks like. But think about your family and putting some rhythms in. Just like if you're really going to take care of a plant, you have rhythms of watering. So we might create some space for rhythms of letting holy and good words come out of us so that we can give grace to those around us. So I want us to think how we might do that for the rest of the sermon today. And once again, I want us to pull out read that same passage again from Ephesians, because it helps us get there. Read with me. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So in Colossians, it says to clothe ourselves with virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is what the author invites us to do here. It's to let our words not be angry or hurtful, but instead compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's a kind of tough list, though, right? And we've acknowledged that those in our family, sometimes we have that word vomit that comes out, and sometimes those in our family can get under our skin. And I look at that list, and I go, oh, man, I struggle with that. I think we all struggle with this list of making sure that every word we say is full of these things. You know, patience is the one that really caught me off guard this week, because before I had children, I was extremely patient. I mean, there were only two things that made me extremely angry in this world. One was human trafficking and the fact that other people would own and sell others to be abused, and Aggie basketball. And I couldn't understand why these 20-year-olds wouldn't do what I wanted them to do on the court, and I'd get frustrated and had no patience as I watched the games. But those were really the only two things that really got my blood pressure up. And then once I had kids, oh man, and my kids know exactly what to do to push my buttons, right? It's hard to have patience sometimes with those that are closest to us. And yet here the invitation is to really clothe ourselves. I like how the invitation is all about clothing ourselves. It's almost like wearing a jacket. And here we're invited to clothe ourselves with compassion and gentleness and kindness. And when I think about clothing ourselves, you know, within our families, most mornings I have to help Colson, my 6-year-old, get his arms through his coat. Because he's, of course, taken off his coat in a very haphazard way that leaves the sleeves, like, inside out, right? So in the morning he's trying to get out of the house, and, like, the jacket's just not coming on. And so I have to pause, and I'll reach in, and I'll pull the sleeve out of the jacket, and I'll hold it open for him, and he can slide one arm in, and he can slide the other arm in. And I think about our invitation here is to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and patience, and I wonder if that's one of the gifts of our family, right? Because there are mornings that I'm trying to rush out the door, and I don't have the ability to really put that coat on. And I'm struggling to put on compassion or kindness or humility. And Aaron has to come beside me and hold the jacket and get it straightened out so that I can put on patience and humility. That's the gift of family. And that's one of the gifts that we can do, is offer life-giving words that help us clothe ourselves. And it's a cycle, right? We start building each other up and helping each other flourish. So if we can put on this coat with all these character traits, then there's two sets of words that I'm going to challenge you with this week. And these come from the same passage in Colossians, but I think we need these phrases to not just move us from a place of being watered, but one to really flourish. In chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So the words that need to come out of our mouth are, "I love you." Right? We're invited here to clothe ourselves with love. And we might even take it a step further and say, "I love you because." And so we water the people in our family, in all of those relationships, when we create space to say, not only I love you, but I love you because of this. And if you find yourselves rushing in schedules and not connecting with each other, sometimes just simple texts or little notes, offer that. But it's important for us to make sure that we're watering freely, that we're letting words of I love you because flow out of our mouth to help make sure that those around us are flourishing. And then here's a phrase that gets a little harder, but the passage says, "Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." So the phrase that we need to work on is, "I'm sorry," or "I forgive you." Right? These words are often hard to say, but they're important to say. We need to learn how to say, I'm sorry. And we need to learn how to say, I forgive you. And it might be for little things or it might be for some really big things. But we've got to work on this. And family is a space where we can really create, we have situations that arise. And so we need to make sure we work on this. I remember growing up, my brother and I had that rhythm, right? My parents were trying to teach us how to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. So my younger brother and I, we'd fight. And then what we'd have to do is one of us would have to say, I'm sorry. And the other would say, I forgive you. Right? And so that was kind of our rhythm within our household. And we kind of said it begrudgingly, right? My parents are trying to teach us how to do this. And we just know that we have to do this so that we can get on to the next thing we're going to do, right? So we in our households, if we've got children, we certainly want to teach them to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. But I also remember that I really learned how to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you from the example of my parents. There was one day I was so frustrated with my mom and we'd had this little argument going on and I have no clue what it was about. But I remember sitting in my room on my bed just kind of pouting. And then she came in and she said, I'm sorry. And she apologized to me. I remember that moment and being caught off guard. And then I said, I forgive you. And I learned not from her telling me that this is what I'm supposed to do, but I learned from her example. And so for us, I wonder if we might lead in saying, I'm sorry. We might teach those around us to say, I'm sorry, and create space for them to say, I forgive you. And really, when we do that, we create space for healing, for redemption, for reconciliation, and for flourishing. This week, my challenge to us is to clothe ourselves with all those traits of compassion and humility and patience and kindness. And then to make sure that we're saying the words, I love you, and then leading with the words, I'm sorry, when it's necessary. Because it will lead our families to a place of flourishing. Let's pray. Holy God, words can be difficult. They can be difficult when we hear them. Sometimes words are difficult to say. But God, we thank you for the blessing of family, whatever that looks like. And so we take just a moment right now to pray for our family. To pray for each of those people we love. To pray for each of those people that you have put in our care. God, forgive us for those times where we haven't said what we needed to say. Forgive us for those times where we spoke in anger or didn't have enough patience. God, be a part of that healing that occurs in our family. Give us the ability, maybe even the strength or the courage, to say the words, I love you. And God, in those spaces where we've messed up, give us the ability to say, I'm sorry. Because when we do that, Lord, we'll create space for your Holy Spirit to water our souls and our families. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. As the ushers come forward to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, just as our families are our gift to us, and we nourish that. Our church family is a gift to us as well, and one of the ways we water it is by giving faithfully and ensuring that life-giving ministries can happen in this congregation. So I invite you to join with me in our prayer for the offering. You'll find the words on the screen. God, the giver of life, thank you for entrusting us with family and resources. May we be faithful stewards of both. Amen.